Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. That passage that we're all familiar with, the great healing at Gate Beautiful, and the scripture says that at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, tells me that there are times designated to pray, and I don't think that we need to get under the restraint or the law necessarily of setting these exact hours. But I think, like so much is scheduled in our lives, prayer needs to be scheduled in. Amen? Otherwise, it seems to get put off and I'll do it later, and so often we never get around to it. It's so important to Islam that no matter where they are, they shut everything down to pray. Would to God we were that zealous. Their problem is they're praying to the wrong God. Isn't it ironic how so many of these cults are so much more diligent than those who have come to know the truth? And so here they are at this hour entering into the temple, and we're all very familiar, so I won't belabor the points, but here's this lame man, lame from his mother's womb, daily at the gate. Who knows how many times they've passed by, and we've learned a great lesson in that, haven't we? Don't faint. There is a time when God will show up. Amen. They passed him by. How it wasn't the time. It wasn't the time. This wasn't the time. And now the Holy Ghost arrests these hearts. Peter stops, fastens his eyes upon this man and said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Oh, would to God we had that to give today as readily as they did. You know, some of us seem to forget. We think, man, it must have been much easier then. Jesus was there with them. And, you know, there's a degree of truth to that. But you know, they'd never seen any of this before, and we have 2,000 years of history and evidence of it taking place. We should believe that. Amen?
Amen.
And so as we're looking at these different aspects of the Spirit of God moving in our lives, what do we have to give? Silver and gold have I none. I've got this great doctor that I know of. Here's this cure, here's this medicine, try this. Look on me, I've got something to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And we know the story. He took him by the hand, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received their strength, verse 7 says. He leaped up and stood and walked. He entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising God. And you know what it caused in them? It caused them to begin to praise God. And tonight we want to remember that part of why we're believing God, wanting him to move in our midst, so hungry, is that people could know that Jesus is raised from the dead, and his name and faith in his name are making these people whole. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's not about us feeling better. It's about God being glorified. That men could see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. That should be our motivation, the glory of God, not feeling better. The fact that God's word becomes big and is true in the eyes of those that are watching us walk this walk of faith. It says, and they knew that it was he that sat for alms. Verse 10, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. Hallelujah. And that's part of what we're believing God for. When you lay hands on that person on the job and God heals them miraculously. I mean, some of you have already seen and had good testimonies of people being healed of different areas in their life of certain diseases or, you know, chronic ailments. But as God continues to use you on the job and we begin to see signs and wonders begin to occur to where it goes throughout the whole workplace, that God has visited and miraculously touched these lives as you represent the kingdom of God. What an opportunity, amen? What a time of rejoicing that is. For us to then be able to look at our co-workers and say, don't look on us as though by our own power we've done something. I can't heal anybody. But I want you to know something. Listen, it's not by our own power, verse 12, or our own holiness that had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Has glorified His Son Jesus. And I want you to know, verse 16, that it's His name, through faith in His name, that has made this man strong who you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now watch, here's the kicker, verse 19. Repent therefore. Don't be sharing testimonies. Don't be experiencing these miraculous moves of God. That we're to be shouting from the housetops has to carry along with it the message of repentance. We had a young man that visited our church here the other day, and he's associated with one of the biggest churches in this area. You would know the church if I named it. And they were wanting to help him out in ministry, and as he visited here, and he was very aware of the presence of God in this place. He's recently filled with the Holy Ghost, and the place that he associates with doesn't promote the doctrine of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But he was given this advice because his work is primarily in evangelism. He said, we're going to give you some advice. Your evangelistic outreach will be far greater if you stop preaching repentance so much. This is an evangelical church. Bible-believing church. Biggest church in probably on the East Coast. Good people. There's born-again Christians there. God's doing a great work in the church staff. Now, I don't know who this was that was given this great advice, but they could use a little bit of help. We need to emphasize more than we do in our lives this message of repentance. The people that we come, you know, we make fun of the little cartoons and the guy walking around with the sign that says repent. The end is coming. Repent. That's a true message. Why do we laugh at that? And so right along with the doctrine of healing, the move and the doctrine of signs and wonders, it must be accompanied with this message. And he says, repent therefore, be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. He continues on with his message to them, and we know the story that because of this, it says in chapter 4 that the spiritual leaders, the Sadducees and the hypocrites, were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. You see, that is the gospel. Jesus is alive. He's raised from the dead. When we witness to all of these other religions and some of these different cults, that's the difference between us and them. They're praying to dumb idols. We're praying and fellowshipping with the living God who not only hears but is able to speak to us. Amen? He's risen from the dead. You want to know what makes a difference between what you believe and I believe? Watch this. Our God's alive. Let the God that is God answer by fire. Hallelujah. We're to expect God to show himself mighty in the culture that we live in, that they can know that we serve a living God. This isn't a religion. This is a communion and relationship. This is a family of the Most High God. And we have rights and we have authorities in this realm, praise God. And so this is this boldness, and these people are taken back by this boldness. They go on in this fourth chapter, as you know, and they say, Lord, grant us more boldness. Amen? How many of you could use a little more boldness? Boldness in declaring the resurrection. Boldness in declaring the message of repentance. Boldness in coming to the throne of God and receiving the benefits that rightfully belong to us. Whatsoever we ask, we know, we've studied before, that word in the Greek means whatever we require or demand, praise God. We don't command and demand God. We command and demand our rights that He's purchased for us, praise God. Father's not going to get upset with you for demanding what's rightfully yours. Do you know what He paid to get you those benefits? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Amen? And forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities and heals all of my diseases. Hallelujah. It's exciting. Now, I'm not going to teach tonight or preach. We're going to have some testimonies, so just a couple more things to share. And why we need to focus upon these things that God is doing and is going to do to a greater degree in our midst. It's not just to make us feel better. Thank God, and we all have that compassion for our brothers and sisters, and we want them to feel better. But that's not all this is about. And it's surely not something that's to be kept inside these doors. Oh, there were times when Jesus would tell people, don't say anything, but I want you to know the primary commandment is to go into all the world and declare this gospel and the fruits and the benefits of it. Hallelujah. He told the man delivered from demons, go back and share with your hometown everything that I've done for you. And so we realize that as we get into this chapter, into chapter 4, And they're being forbidden to minister in this name. It says that many of them, verse 4, which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Hallelujah. And many that were believing were some of the professed Sadducees, both learned and unlearned, drawn by the presence and the power of the resurrected Jesus. Don't look on us as though by our own power or holiness. The worst mistake that any believer can make, and the thing that will take you into heresy and destruction quicker than anything, is to think that somehow you're doing it. We are not all that. Amen? It's not by our power or holiness. It's the vindication of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We serve a living God. By what power, verse 7? By what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, listen, be it known unto you all, verse 10, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God has raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Hallelujah. And there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the message that healing and miracles and answered prayer opens up to us. It only takes one. I've been praying, I've been believing, we haven't seen anything yet. It only takes one. Amen? It only takes one to turn the whole city upside down. 5,000 people saved because of one healing. We need to be believing for that one. Amen? Tonight. Tomorrow. The people would begin to take heed that Jesus is alive from the dead, and there's no other name under heaven whereby they can be saved. This great gift that made us whole, spirit, soul, and body. And when they saw the boldness, perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Don't you want that to be your testimony tonight? That guy hangs out with Jesus. Now, he's not very smart. But every once in a while, this glow kind of comes on his face and words that come out of his mouth, and he speaks like no man ever spoke before. Hallelujah. As we just speak what God has placed into our hearts. They're common people. They're not the elite among us. Not many mighty, not many noble. Amen? But ready to declare. Cannot help but speak, he goes on in this chapter to say, the things that we've seen and heard. And so we just want to encourage ourselves tonight in this. Don't muzzle yourself through fear of men's faces, through pride. Don't muzzle yourself through the threats of whatever company you might work for. Most of us still have great liberties on our job to speak the name of Jesus. You know, this thing of the oppression of the church and the oppression of Christians is being promoted by so many people, and it's no more of a greater threat at this time than the numbers they try to blow up of the homosexuals. They'd make you think that half the population are homosexuals. We still have rights. And if we didn't have rights, we're going to preach it anyway, praise God. It's going to get you in the lion's den. So what? He threw the windows open and prayed to God as he always had. Hallelujah. Where's our boldness? If Jesus is raised from the dead, where's our boldness? That's our testimony as believers. A specific declaration of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray, you tell your friends at work. I'm going to pray and God's going to do something. Amen? As we saw in the video the other day, John said he thinks he was able to, on the internet, find the exact date. I couldn't remember it. I'm teaching all of these teenagers, there's nothing impossible for God. I'm teaching all these young people that whatever you desire, when you pray, if you believe, you receive it, you shall have it. I'm teaching these young people, be bold. Go out and declare the power of the resurrected Jesus. And he'll confirm the word that you speak with signs and wonders. And so this young kid comes in from school that day, and I've shared the testimony, and we're sitting around there in that little office, and old Monty comes in there, and he says, you know, I was sharing Jesus, and these people were mocking me, and I told them, I said, bless God, I'll tell you what, I'm going back, and I'm talking to my youth pastor, and we're going to agree together, and it's going to snow. Now, that doesn't sound like much if you're living in the Sierra Nevadas, but when you're living in the desert, I'm not talking about the high desert. I'm talking about San Joaquin Valley. I'm talking like elevation 8, you know. He said, can we pray? And I'm thinking, dear God. What do you tell these young people? Yeah, we can pray. Amen. There ain't no way I'm tying millstones on little children's belief, man. You want to believe God? Yeah, I'll jump in with you. Praise God. Not ever going to discourage somebody from trusting God and believing the voice of God. Can I tell you very clearly that not every bold move for God is presumption? Let's don't be presumptuous. Let's get out of the boat, praise God. Let's obey what the Spirit of God's telling us to do. Let's be bold, as we've been sharing, and in our desperation, not a desperation just to have the need met, a desperation for God to show up. So we see the scriptures and the testimony of these men, and they had taken note that they had been with Jesus. And beholding, verse 14, the man which was healed, they could say nothing against it. You want to shut people up? Then start seeing the lame people get healed and walk at work. Amen? In the neighborhood. Blind eyes open. The dumb to speak. We thank God for his promise that he will confirm the word that we speak with signs following. And so they're threatened, and the question's asking, what do we do with these people, verse 16? It's obvious that a notable miracle has been done by them. We cannot, verse 16, deny it. So let's threaten them to no longer speak in this name. And they called him and commanded them not to speak at all nor to teach in the name. And he said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. But we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And as we end tonight, then in the end of this chapter in verse 29, they gather together and they seek God with all of their hearts. And they say, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant to your servants that with all boldness we might speak thy word. Let's continue to make that our prayer. Amen. We're talking about being in one accord. We're talking about being of one heart and one mind. This is all about soul winning. This is all about boldness of declaring the redemptive work that Jesus has done for us. Of what we have freely received. That we know in secret we shout from the housetops. Grant to us a boldness, Lord, that we may speak your word. Now here's an interesting aspect of this prayer. Lord, give us boldness. And in the process, give us something to declare boldly. Give us boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. That word signs, it's just in the Greek, miraculous power. Another rendering is the declaration of divine authority. Signs. Wonders, it's just a word that means to cause men to stop and marvel. Hallelujah. Lord, grant that you would stretch forth your hand to heal. Do signs and wonders in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And so as we finish for tonight, I think the thing that we need to be believing for is that God would visit us again and fill us again. Amen? With the Holy Ghost. We need to be shaken up. We need to be constantly filled with the Holy Ghost. Refreshed. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, these threats that come against us may not just be threats of flesh and blood. Some of the threats are the devil coming and saying, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. God's moving in your midst, but I'm going to kill your kids. I'm going to steal your wealth and your well-being. You're going to end up like Job. The accuser of the brethren, the father of lies will come in. He'll make all of these threats and accusations against the promises of God in your life. We need to be bold in our prayer closets. We need to rise up and take authority over all these lying spirits. We need to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Pull down every evil imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Don't lose sight tonight that we're at war. And as we begin to see these signs and wonders, you will come under attack. I don't like to glorify the enemy, but we've already experienced it. As God's been moving in these last months, we've already known it. We've seen it in our house. We've seen these, the wars that we've had in the areas of demonic oppression and all of the different things that would come, try to come in and cause, you know, fears and doubts. Hallelujah. And he delivers us from them all. Amen. With what we've been preaching, do you think the devil wants to shut me up? There's nothing he fears more than people that pray. And here's some guy trying to stir all you folks up to start praying. He wants that stuff to stop, man. Stop nothing. It's just barely beginning. Hallelujah. And they come together and they pray for more boldness. Listen to what's happening. They prayed for more boldness. We don't rest on our laurels. We were going to take tonight. We're not going to now. We had some testimonies. We'll probably share some of them on Wednesday. And we have some of the most recent answers to prayer that we want to go over and just boast on God and refresh ourselves and remind ourselves of this work that's been done. Didn't our hearts burn within us as we talked about the work of Jesus as they walked on the road to Emmaus? That stirs our faith. I heard a couple of people the other day sharing some things and they were like, oh yeah, the Lord. And I'd never even heard the testimonies. I thought, we need to share those things. We've had a lot of great answers to prayer that many of us aren't even aware of that we think, well, it's nothing spectacular. If it's supernatural, it's spectacular. Praise God. And we need to boast on Jesus. Amen. Share your faith. Share your victory. Share what God has done that you know are specific answers to prayer. That we have, you know, things that we're able to look at and it's not a thing where we're still standing and believing by faith, but these are things that are verifiable. Clinically, forensically. He was born blind. Here's his parents. Everybody's known him as the blind man. And now he sees, praise God. Share it. That we can encourage one another's faith. And some of these, we got about four people that are going to be sharing. And these are all things that we have that as we shared are, you know, verifiable. I'm trying to dig up. I have somewhere the x-rays of Louis Castro. Would anybody be interested in seeing those if we can find them, you know, just something where you can look back again and go, wow, look at them again, the work that God had done. Jeff was just talking about how often he and Jamie would go up and see Louie in the hospital. Miracle. Dead. Deader than you're dead when your heart stops beating. When you're brain dead, beep. You all remember, many of you remember that. I stood right in the pulpit and I shared with people, I said, God's going to raise him from the dead, and some of you still won't believe. And God did raise him from the dead. Amen. He's still alive today for some of you who are wondering. Going strong. Married to some young lady, wearing her out. You know, when God touches you, you just got some more miles, man. You're going, you know. Get them, Louie. Don't think it's going to be without a war. And so when you begin to experience different attacks, just remember this one thing. We can come to the place where we are not ignorant of His devices. But that doesn't mean that we're to dwell on His threats and what He might be doing. Give Him no thought or no place until we begin to deal with a specific attack and we're not ignorant of His devices in the midst of this attack. But let me tell you how to get the devil to leave you. Draw nigh unto God. Amen? And He will draw nigh unto you. And then it goes on and says, and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't make it about resisting the devil. Make it about drawing nigh unto God. The devil is very uncomfortable in the presence of God. Amen. The highway of holiness. There's no lion there. You want to get safe? Get as far away from the world as you can get. Get as far away from all the carnal things that your flesh likes doing as you can get. Find that secret place. Walk dead down the middle of that straight and narrow. There's no lion there on that highway of holiness. And then when you begin to experience some kind of attack, you have full assurance that God's allowing it. And when you're comfortable that God is in on it, then you have absolute assurance that you will not be tempted past that, that you're able to stand. And with every temptation, there's a way of escape. Hallelujah. So encourage yourself in what it is that God's looking for ultimately as He begins to manifest signs and wonders. We haven't seen anything yet. God wants to move mightily in our midst. And He wants to use you. I don't believe, I've said it before, I said it years ago, decade ago or more. I believe that this great outpouring that we're going to experience in these last days is no longer going to be headliners. The great faith man somewhere. I believe that the miracles of this hour of the last day preparation of the bride of Christ is going to be a manifestation of the body of Christ ministering one to another. Each and every one of us experiencing the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healings, working of miracles. And so we need to be aware and prepare ourselves. Don't sit back and think, well, you know, God will raise up some great gift among us and then I'll get my deliverance. God's looking for you, praise God, amen, to be the agent that brings Him His glory. Father, we thank You tonight for Your word, and we just delight in all of Your goodness, Your grace upon us. Father, the time that we had at Your feet tonight at Your table, thank You for being in our midst. Thank You for reminding us of our great salvation. Thank You, Lord, for just stirring up in us again that intimate moment of when You redeemed us, when we were first made Your child. Hallelujah. What can we say, Lord, but thank You, thank You, thank You. Who am I? Who are my people? That You would just reach in and pull out as a brand from the fire. Thank You, Father. Stir our hearts as we go our way tonight. Father, work in us somehow by your grace as we go our way today. A hunger for a greater boldness than we've ever known. That people would look at us and say, that guy's been with Jesus. And for that testimony, we'll say thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, go into all the world. Hallelujah.